I'm Xavier.
I'm Gabe.
We are the IT department. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Happy holidays and season's greetings to you and yours. Thank you for joining me for another edition of Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. How is your week going? I hope you're having a great day. On today's program, we are going to listen to the third part of a dynamic pro-life conversation. Our host, Dr. James Dobson, and today's guest, Dr. William Lyle, who you may know as the Pro-Life Doc, are discussing some broader topics surrounding life and how we are all called to defend the preborn in today's immoral culture. The Pro-Life Doc points out that now is the time to be preparing the church and pro-life organizations for what's to come, given that Roe v. Wade was recently overturned. This conversation was originally recorded at the end of April, and the entire three-part conversation is part of this year's Best of Broadcast Collection. For those of you who don't know Dr. Lyle, he has dedicated his life to saving the lives of unborn children and is here to give them a voice. He is a board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist. Now, this is truly a big win for God's kingdom. Listen to this. In 1999, he bought the largest pro-abortion practice in Florida and immediately stopped all the abortions there. He turned that facility into a pro-life medical care provider that specializes in women's reproductive health. We'll listen to their conversation in just a moment, but I want to remind you that this month we have a matching grant thanks to a number of generous friends of the ministry. So what this means to you is, if you choose to make a financial donation to our ministry, every dollar is doubled in this most critical time as we defend the preborn and work to share God's word with new families everywhere. Please consider a gift to the JDFI, and most importantly, keep us in your prayers. Your kindness and generosity will bring hope and encouragement to even more families in 2023. So if you choose to donate and would like to do so online, please visit drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Or call 877-732-6825. Again, that's 877-732-6825. Now, friends, let's rejoin the conversation with host Dr. James Dobson and today's guest, Dr. William Lyle, right here on Family Talk.
We are engaged in a spiritual battle, and we have to recognize that. And if we're going to engage in a spiritual battle and not using our spiritual tools, then we're not going to be successful in this battle. So I want to give the audience some scriptures that they can use to defend God's preborn. We talked about Genesis 1:26, but then we have to look at Jeremiah 1:5, where God says to Jeremiah, he says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I set you apart. I sanctified you and ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations." God had a relationship with Jeremiah in the womb. He had a job for Jeremiah to do. I mean, from the moment of conception, all of us have value, we have purpose, and we have meaning. And the kids today, with suicide rates being so high, they need to understand that them being here is not a random happenstance, but from the moment of conception, they have value, they have purpose, and they have meaning. Psalm 139, "I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." The psalmist is saying, "You knit me in my mother's womb." Well, what does that mean? It means that from that moment of conception, the psalmist realized there was a night of romance, and 9 months later, there was a baby. And that just had to be an act of God. What the psalmist was trying to explain was cell differentiation, as we would describe it now, how a cell from the mom, a cell from the dad get together, and they form one cell. But then an exact copy is made. And when that exact copy is made, you now have 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64 cells. By 10 weeks of pregnancy, there is a billion cells in this baby. But how do you have a different cell that is doing the heart and one is doing the bowel and one is doing the bones? During cell differentiation, you'll say one cell that'll say, "I don't want to be an exact copy of you. I've got the blueprints, but I'm going to only read these pages. From now on, I'm going to do the cardiovascular system, the heart, all the arteries, and all the veins." And another cell will say, "Well, you know, that's fine. I have the same full blueprints, but I'm going to use these pages. I'm going to start the entire skeletal system, all the bones, all the ligaments, all the muscles." When you look at the cell differentiation and development of the baby, with that kind of architecture, there had to be a designer, there had to be an architect, and that is our Almighty God. And when we look at Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, in that we were all born sinners, but that Jesus died for us. Well, who of us are sinners? Well, we're all sinners. And God recognized that, but he sent his son for all sinners. Well, we know that God sent his son. He lived a perfect life. He gave his life for us on the cross, and he was buried and dead for 3 days, and then he conquered death and he rose again. And if we put our trust in him, we can spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. But let's look at sinners a little bit closely. We know that we are sinners, but we're not just sinners from the time that we're born. If we look at Psalm 51:5, yes, the psalmist says we were sinful from the time of our birth, but we were also sinners from the time of our conception. So if we are conceived with the sin nature, then God loved the preborn enough that he sent his son to live a perfect life, give his life for us, and then conquer death. So if God loves the preborn enough to do that for us and send his only son, then we have a duty to defend God's preborn. How do I look at my position as a physician? Well, I look at the book of Esther, and I look at Mordecai talking to Esther. And in Esther 4:14, Esther is hearing this word from Mordecai saying, but that you have been called for such a time as this. And Mordecai is saying, you've been brought up to this royal position so that you can defend the nation of Israel. Well, that's why we're here today. That's why your audience is listening to this today. That is why you have pastors and physicians and radio hosts and ministry leaders that need to look at their position. Of all of the things that are going on in the United States, this is not just a battle for just God's preborn. This is a battle for the heart and soul of this nation.
It is.
I am engaged in this battle for my daughters and for the grandkids that I don't have yet. Why? Because you read through Judges 3, 4, 5, and 6, and there's no doubt God loved the nation of Israel. But the nation of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And when they did evil in the sight of the Lord, God didn't just take his hands off and say, y'all are on your own. God delivered them into the hands of their enemies. God actually strengthened their enemies. They were sent into bondage for years and years. When it comes to doing evil in the sight of the Lord, is killing 63 million babies created in the image of God at the moment of conception, does that meet the qualifications of doing evil in the sight of the Lord? Yeah, absolutely. How we
and
deal,
judgment is likely.
And justly so. It would be. Someday we're all going to be before our Lord, and we're going to be judged on what we did for kingdom service here on earth. And we want to look back, and we want to hear the words. Every pastor and every believer wants to hear those words,
well done,
thou good and faithful servant. Now's that opportunity to earn that saying from Jesus, to have him look you in the eyes as you're saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, but to have Jesus look at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Is Dr. James Dobson going to hear those words? Absolutely. You have been an amazing, faithful servant of our Lord and somebody who I have just admired like you can't ever believe. Mm-hmm. And it's really your influence that has motivated me to be engaged in this battle. Love my profession, but it's your example that has turned my profession into a passion for defending God's preborn.
I'm just humbled that the Lord could use me. I'm just grateful that he opened the doors and made it possible for us to do what we're doing today. I want to tell you, what you just said will preach. My dad would have said, that'll preach. And in fact, you do preach, don't you? You do sometimes speak. In fact, you did it at one of our events, and everybody's still talking about it.
It's an honor. I mean, this is something where the pulpit is supposed to be where we hear the truth. I mean, we look at the definition of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the truth needs to be raining loud and clear from our pulpits. During our revolution in 1776, our pulpits were afire with the truth of the gospel.
May they once again be afire.
And we need to have them. And I'm honored to be able to speak from the pulpit. In fact, I'll be preaching at two different services on Sunday morning on the issues that we discussed today. But it needs to be coming from the pulpit, and we need to be training our pastors that are in seminary. We need to be going to our Christian colleges. If I were to be asked to do a lecture on makeup, I could not do it because I don't know anything about makeup. our pastors a lot of times don't know anything about abortion. They don't know the medical arguments. Sometimes they don't even know the scriptures. Well, we need to teach them how they can discuss. A lot of times people don't even know how to share the gospel. Do we have classes on how to share the gospel in our churches? Sure. Why? Because there is a technique and there is a skill in sharing the gospel that is effective. So we need to have these classes. We need to develop men's ministries. Every pregnancy involves a man. Men have a duty to be protectors and defenders. That is our God-given role. We have a ministry in Pensacola called Micah 6:8. We meet every Friday morning at the Drowsy Poet Coffee Shop by Pensacola Christian College. 30, 40 of us from all different denominations. We meet at 6:15 in the morning with the primary goal to educate and train on how to defend God's preborn.
How can people find out about that?
It's in Pensacola, Florida. All the men in that area are welcome to come. Drowsy Poet, 6:15 every Friday morning. We not only train the men, but we raise funds. We have an annual fundraiser called the Run for Life, and it's hosted over at Olive Baptist Church. It's a 5K run. We raised over $8,000 during that one-day 5K run for the Pregnancy Resource Center that we support, which is called Safe Harbor in Pensacola. But it is men that are physicians, police officers, elected officials, school teachers that are there with our primary focus on life, because that's what we've been trained to do, and that is our duty and that is our role.
Dr. Lyle, you often find yourself giving CPR or emergency care to somebody on a plane who's in serious jeopardy. The last time we were together, you told a story about a recent event on a Delta flight. Can you share that with us?
Sure can. I seem to attract medical emergencies when I fly. You never know when God's going to call you to service. And as a physician, even though I'm a gynecologist, I always am available and willing to help somebody in need. We were on a Delta flight out of Atlanta. And as we were on the tarmac, we heard a cry from the back of the plane. A young lady yelled, "Help, medical." And so I, of course, stood up and went down the aisle, hoping that's going to be something easy like a woman in labor and just going to deliver a baby and move on. But it wasn't. It was a gentleman who was unconscious and was not able to be aroused. We were able to move him from his seat, and we got him into the aisle. And when we got him into the aisle, we opened up his airway, we checked him, did the ABCs, and he had no pulse. So the flight attendant asked, "Do we need to go back to the gate?" And I said, "Absolutely. Yes, we do." And while we were heading back to the gate, we got the AED. He was in a condition called ventricular fibrillation, where his heart was just sort of quivering and not really pumping. And we were able to give him the first shock, and we started CPR. And then
we had an AED.
We had an AED on that Delta flight. We shocked him. We got a sinus rhythm back. We had a pulse. But then shortly thereafter, we lost the pulse again. We started CPR again. We shocked him a second time. And one of the passengers on board the plane had a nitroglycerin spray. We gave him a couple sprays of nitroglycerin under the tongue. And not only did we get a sinus rhythm back, but we got a pulse back. And then we lost it again. We went back to doing CPR. And then we shocked him a third time as we were getting back to the gate. And this time, not only did we have sinus rhythm, but we actually had a pulse. He started breathing on his own, and he started to complain that his chest hurt. And so the EMTs and paramedics came on board the plane. And at this point, he was feeling great, and he wanted to actually walk off the plane. But, of course, they're not going to let him walk off the plane. And so they carried him off, and his wife was there with him. And she said, "Oh, wait, thank you." And she asked if I was a cardiologist. And I kind of shook my head and said, "No, ma'am." I said, "I'm a gynecologist." And the next day I found out that his wife was best friends with my office manager's mother-in-law. And later that day I got a call from him thanking me for shocking him and doing CPR. So the role of physician is not just 9 to 5. There are always opportunities for us to use our skills, just like the role of a believer is not just to go to church and to tithe, but to be engaged in this battle.
7 days a week.
It's a 7 day a week battle to share the gospel, to let how Jesus has changed our lives. Other than the gospel, this abortion issue has got to be an emphasis for every single church. when we look at the gifts that we've been given and the opportunities we've been given, this is the time to share, because that's really the true answer. The answer is going to be the gospel. It's the gospel that's going to change the lives of patients. It's the gospel that's going to really save our nation. It is the gospel message that if we want to see the United States be that shining light on the hill, it's got to start with the gospel message.
Is there anything else that you came here hoping you had an opportunity to say? This is your moment. Tell us what's on your mind.
Do people have regrets? Sure. Do I have regrets on things that I've done or things that I've said? Absolutely. When it comes to taking the abortion pill, do people have regrets? Absolutely. But you'll hear the abortion industry saying that nobody regrets taking the abortion pill. Nobody regrets their abortion. Women are hurting and women are suffering from the effect of the abortion pill. There was a psychologist who lived in San Francisco who realized that 1,800 people had jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge. They had walked out onto the bridge and they said, nobody loves me, nobody cares for me, nobody's here to help me, this world will be better without me. And they jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and they fell 225 feet down to the bay below. But then the psychologist also heard that 29 people had survived jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. So she interviewed 29 of those 29 patients and she asked them, as soon as you jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge, what was now going through your head? 29 of 29 immediately said that they had immediate regrets, and they said, God, don't let me die. And by some miracle and grace of God, those lives were saved. They hit the water. They were fished out by the Coast Guard or by a fisherman. They swam to shore. Women facing an abortion and taking the abortion pill are the exact same story. They walk into the abortion clinic thinking, nobody loves me, nobody cares for me, nobody is here to meet my needs. They take the abortion pill, and they immediately have regrets. And so we're here to help with those regrets. There is a safety net underneath the Golden Gate Bridge to try to catch those people who make that wrong decision of jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. We would like nobody to take the abortion pill. But if they do, we want them to know that there is that opportunity. But if they don't know
there
that—
there wasn't in the past. This is a fairly recent development.
Correct.
Where there is a way back.
There is. So we've actually been able to successfully reverse the effect of the abortion pill 3,000 times here in the United States. Healthy moms, healthy babies, and it's a network of physicians, and it's a network of nurses, and it's just a true ministry of correcting a bad decision.
And they have healthy babies after.
Healthy moms, healthy babies. And there's nothing more rewarding than saving the lives of those babies. It's amazing that we will sometimes defend the lives of animals more than we will the lives of babies.
You mentioned turtles.
Oh, my goodness. We have volunteers that will go up and down the beach of Pensacola at night on four-wheelers looking for recently laid sea turtle nests. And when they find a nest, they don't just put one fence, two fence, they put three fences around every sea turtle nest. And then they put up these bright yellow signs, say, warning, sea turtle nest, do not disturb. And if you disturb pre-born sea turtles, you can have a year in jail or be fined $100,000 for pre-born sea turtles. Meanwhile, if you are pregnant and you are over on Pensacola Beach and you are up to 24 weeks pregnant, currently you can drive over the 3-mile bridge, go to the abortion clinic in Pensacola, and legally abort the pre-born baby that is in your womb. The amazing thing is when you look at these signs, the penalties for disturbing pre-born sea turtles are based on the U.S. Endangered Species Act. There's federal law and there's state law. But you read the fine print. When was the U.S. Endangered Species Act passed? 1973. The U.S. Endangered Species Act gave protection to pre-born sea turtles. But on the other side of Washington, D.C., in the same year, the U.S. Supreme Court denied that same level of protection to pre-born babies.
That'll bring tears to your eyes.
It will.
We're getting close to the end, Dr. Lyle, but you have made yourself available for this cause, and I'm amazed at your energy and willingness to be out in front on these highly controversial, in some circles, arena. What else would you make available to the people who are listening to us right now?
Well, we have lots of resources.
You're one man now.
It's Pro-Life Doc. Hopefully someday it'll be Pro-Life Docs. But for right now, we are available. We are available to speak at churches, to speak at events. You can go to our website, prolifedoc.org.
Do you ever testify?
And expert witness testimony. Education is really key. Not only are the people of the United States coming awake as far as the need to treat the preborn as patients and defend them, but they are influencing our legislatures to do that as well. And we're always happy to give pro-life testimony before the legislatures. We've given testimony in Florida. We've given testimony in Ohio. We've given testimony in Washington State. Our legislators are not physicians. They are not experts in this field. Yet you can give simple examples of our patients that we are spending tax dollar money saving the lives of. And so if they are a patient, they are a person. And if they are a person, then they have protection through the 14th Amendment. And that is a key. Our legislature is starting to make changes, and we need to give them the information to make knowledgeable, informed decisions.
I want to say to our listeners, if you have appreciated what you've heard, not only on this day, but the two other days that we just talked together, I would appreciate your expressing your thanks to this man for what he's doing, what his passion is on behalf of all of us. Not everybody has an opportunity to do what you do, and you're giving it to the Lord. And I thank you for that, my brother. And I do hope the Lord's blessings and protection will be on you. You're flying all over the place. You've got a family. You've got two daughters. You have all these other responsibilities. And I pray that he'll keep you healthy because you are critical to this cause.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Dobson. I appreciate this opportunity. It's always an honor to be here with you, to work with the Family Talk Ministry, and really use the miracle of radio to educate, inform, and encourage.
Have a good trip home, and God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, my brother.
And that was Dr. Dobson and Dr. William Lyle, the pro-life doc. And this concludes their three-part conversation. We've had Dr. Lyle on the show many times over the years, and he has become a great friend of the ministry and to Dr. and Mrs. Dobson. Today, we heard the conclusion of their April 2022 conversation discussing a range of pro-life topics. This program and all three parts are included in our 2022 Best of Broadcast collection. For a suggested $50 donation, you can get your very own copy, sent right to your home. Why not share God's Word through these compelling conversations? What a great way to spread Christmas cheer. And new this year, we have a digital download version as well. Playing the Best of 2022 programs just got easier. All you have to do to receive the download collection is go to drjamesdobson.org/best of 2022. The download link is featured right there. And if you'd like to order your CD set or receive the downloadable link by phone, our customer care team is always standing by. Just call 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. If you'd like to send in your donation by using the U.S. mail, here is our address for you to write down. It's Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, zip code 80949. Once again, that address is the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, or JDFI for short, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, zip code 80949. We love hearing from you, even if it's comments about how we can do better, to how we can pray for you. Always feel free to reach out to us. From all of us here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, thank you for being a part of our ministry. I'm Roger Marsh, and from all of us here at the JDFI, we hope you're having a blessed holiday season and a wonderful Christmas, which is right around the corner. This is Family Talk, the voice you trust for the family you love.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tim Clinton for the James Dobson Family Institute. Who inspires you on matters of faith, family, and culture? If you don't already get it, sign up for Dr. Dobson's monthly newsletter at drjamesdobson.org. Each month, you're going to receive insight and news that impacts your family and solid advice that you can trust. Whether it's wisdom for parents, tips for building a lasting marriage, or discernment on issues your family may be facing, you're going to find direction, encouragement, and more every month. Visit drjamesdobson.org and sign up for that monthly newsletter today. And again, that's drjamesdobson.org. You'll be glad you did.
Hey everyone, Roger Marsh here. When you think about your family and where they will be when you're no longer living, are you worried? Are you confident? Are you hopeful? What kind of legacy are you leaving for your children and their children? Here at Family Talk, we're committed to helping you understand the legacy that you're leaving for your family. Join us today at drjamesdobson.org for helpful insights, tips, and advice from Dr. James Dobson himself. And remember, your legacy matters.